Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, through Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, the Gospel of Matthew, which we've been studying for the past couple of weeks, is a story that reveals Jesus as the true King of Israel and also the true Son of God, the Son of Man, who comes into our world to be our King as well. But what exactly does it look like to follow the King? What does it look like to learn from Jesus, to follow Jesus, to order our lives around Jesus? Well, Matthew, the gospel writer, compiles a number of stories about Jesus and his life and his ministry to help those who follow after Matthew to understand just what a disciple of Jesus looks like. He shares with us that Jesus began his ministry in Galilee, preaching and teaching and doing all kinds of miracles. And then, like the other synoptic writers, like Luke and Mark, he shifts the story. And there is a shift from Galilee to the Judean ministry, to ministry in Jerusalem. The transfiguration is the hinge for the synoptic gospels. Before it, Jesus is preaching and teaching and healing, and after it, while he is still preaching and teaching and healing, it's very clear that his mission is to go to Jerusalem, where he will be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and suffer and die for the salvation of the world. And so today, as Jesus begins that path toward Jerusalem, he is also teaching his disciples. For Jesus, teaching is more than simply hearing. It is experiencing. It's growing. It's learning from the words of Jesus. Jesus often teaches with object lessons or parables. He also sends his disciples off on mission trips, and they practice and they report back to him, and he teaches them some more. And so in this section of Scripture, as Jesus begins his journey to Jerusalem, he helps his disciples to understand what it really means to be a disciple. What does it mean to follow Jesus, to learn from him? First of all, Jesus says that being a disciple involves sacrifice. Jesus says, deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. And so disciples of Jesus recognize Jesus as the suffering servant, the one who serves us and the one who calls us to service. In our contemporary world, we've sort of bought into the myth that you can be a Christian and not really have to sacrifice. That somehow the Christian life involves just kind of going along with the flow and never really taking a stand upon much of anything and living a comfortable, relaxed, successful, and we call it happy life. Now the reality is far from this. We recognize that we live in a broken world filled with hurting people. They're in our communities. They're in our neighborhoods and families. What's more, we recognize that we ourselves are broken and hurting. We're unable to approach God without his grace and his mercy. We are unable to do anything on our own to earn God's approval. There's nothing that we can do to make ourselves right with him. Nothing that we can do to earn God's love. But Jesus, the servant, comes into our world to do what we are unable to do. He perfectly fulfills the law for us. We receive his righteousness. And so it is all about Jesus. And as disciples, we're called to follow him. We are called to serve in his name. Ones who follow the one who was crucified on a cross are called to pick up our cross daily. It's a daily exercise to remember that we are in no way as good as we think we are. It's a daily exercise of repentance, reminding ourselves of our need for Christ and dying to those aspects of our sinful nature that are often expressed in our sinful thoughts and words and actions. As we do that, we focus upon what is eternal and what is not. Well, what is eternal? Christ and all who trust in Him. What is not? Well, things like worldly wealth, pleasures of this world, created things, pretty much anything else in our world. Jesus says, what does it profit a man to gain the world and to lose his soul? We follow one who was crucified on a cross. Our life will not be free of pain and suffering. We also have been baptized with him into his death and resurrection. And so we take up our cross when we suffer in this world with others who are in need, people who are hurting, people who are struggling with sin and addictions and violence. We take to heart Paul's words to the church in Philippians chapter 2. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Following Jesus, being his disciple, means that we take up our cross. The second thing that we can observe is that following Jesus means seeing Jesus as the Son of God, seeing him as truly divine. Jesus is transfigured on that mountain. His clothes grow brightly and his face shines with the radiance of God. We're told that his clothes are gleaming white. You might think of yesterday when the sun was out and all that snow was around. And I know we're sick and tired of snow, but it's that kind of a vision. It's almost too bright. You know, you're out there shoveling the snow with sunglasses on. That is the radiance of God that shone through Jesus as those three disciples saw Jesus as he truly was, gleaming, gloriously, brightly white, appearing with Moses and Elijah, two of the heroes of the Old Testament. Elijah, of course, is representative of the prophets, those who spoke for God. And Moses is the mediator of the law, the one who brings the Ten Commandments down from Mount Sinai. But Jesus is greater than the law and the prophets. And it's a pretty amazing moment for those disciples. Who can blame Peter for wanting to stay forever? Hey, Jesus, let's build some shelters here and camp out. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. But you see, the story of this transfiguration event is that Jesus is demonstrating to his disciples that he is truly divine. In those moments before he goes to Jerusalem and suffers and dies, he wants those disciples to understand who he truly is in all of his glory, the Son of God in all of his splendor. He really is the promised one, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. But Jesus doesn't stay on that mountain. He goes down and continues his journey to Jerusalem with his mission of giving his life as a ransom for all. For God's greatest glory is seen in the gift of the Christ, the perfect one, who willingly suffers and dies for you. Disciples of Jesus are called to recognize Jesus for who he truly is. He's fully God and also fully human. He is the one who walks with people, who eats with sinners, who dies for the broken and the hurting, who gives his life for you and me. We see Jesus for who he truly is when we read the scriptures with eyes of faith. Jesus is not simply a teacher or some great moral example. He is truly the Son of God. And He comes to us as we gather around Him. And He gives Himself to us in the sacraments, binding Himself to us in the waters of baptism, feeding us with bread and wine, His body and His blood. Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to that fullness. Those who follow Jesus see Jesus for who He truly is, the Son of God. Finally, following Jesus means seeing Him as the one who perfectly communicates God's word and God's will and desire. A voice thunders from heaven, "This is my Son whom I love. Listen to Him." And the disciples fall to the ground and they're terrified, and they look up and they see Jesus there all alone. The brightness has vanished. Moses and Elijah are gone. And Jesus says, "Get up. Don't be afraid. There's work to do." And His disciples and Jesus begin that long road to Jerusalem. For the life of a disciple is not simply lived upon a mountaintop, because there's work to be done. There is a mission to be fulfilled. Jesus says it's necessary for the Son of Man to go to Jerusalem and be betrayed and killed, and on the third day to rise again. And so Jesus called those disciples back then, and He calls us today to trust Him and follow Him in faith. Oh, the journey may be long, it may be difficult, it may even be dangerous. But Jesus promises to be with us. He is, after all, God's dearly beloved Son. And the plan of God is to rescue and restore His creation. And as Jesus goes to Jerusalem, the days are drawing even closer and closer for that mission to be fulfilled in the cross and in the empty tomb. "Rise up and go," Jesus says. "Do not be afraid." Those are His words to us today as well. Get up. Go. Do not be afraid. Go out into the world confident in my love and my presence with you. Jesus says, "I will always be with you. Never will I leave you or forsake you. I have redeemed you from sin and death and the powers of hell. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth." Disciples of Jesus follow Jesus as they go out into the world. Jesus tells us that we are salt and light in a world that increasingly seems more angry, more divided, more hostile than ever. Christians are called to share words of grace and love and patience with all that we meet, to proclaim our Savior Jesus through our words and our actions, and to recognize that we are truly partnering with Him in His mission of redeeming and restoring this world that is lost. The journey continues throughout the season of Lent. Transfiguration is the closing of the Epiphany season, and we move next week into the season of Lent. Lent is often seen as kind of a drab and dreary season, a time for self-denial and repentance. But I'd suggest that Lent is more than simply fasting for a day or giving up chocolate or coffee. The real intent of Lenten self-denial is to draw our attention and our focus to Jesus, to more and more pattern our lives in a way where we meditate and think about Christ and His love for us. And if you simply give up something and it doesn't lead you to focus on God more, well, then it's not really very effective and it's not even very important. Instead of maybe giving up something, use Lent as an opportunity to focus on Jesus more. You might add a short period in the morning of reading the Bible. The inserts in your bulletin have daily Bible readings. This is a good opportunity to kind of pick up on that as a practice, to kind of meditate on that story of Jesus going to the cross for you. Maybe you'll join us for midweek worship. Ash Wednesday is this coming Wednesday, and we continue our Wednesday services. The services are intended to be devotional. They're not real long. They're not very involved, but it's an opportunity to kind of get out of the busy world and refocus on Jesus and his life and his love for you. Maybe you want to add some way of communicating Christ's love to others. I do see that we have a homeless shelter meal next weekend. We need volunteers. Whatever it is that you do as we enter into the season of Lent, we want to worship our Lord. We want to see Jesus for who he truly is, the Son of Man in his kingdom, the voice of God, the suffering servant, the very divine Son of God, gave himself for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We now worship our Lord and Savior through the giving of our tithes and our offerings.